much, Will.
Thank you for having me. Thank
I appreciate you joining us. And thanks to Sarah and Summer and Lainey for their work on the show. And stay tuned for the Funny Boys. I'm STD Noor. We'll be talking again next week. Bye-bye. Recorded with information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream media distorted. We come and listen and support it.
You're listening to WORT Madison. No fights if you cannot predict the outcome. Don't make donations where you cannot get your. Send them all your Prozac. I will not climb into your telephone tree. And hell no, you cannot put me on hold. It's the same recorded message you've been singing all along. Keep handing us the Bible while you're walking off with all the gold. The bureaucratic office sends you merry-go-rounding, while the KKK police the streets by bloodhounding. Interest on the credit card just keeps on compounding, but the FCC can never shut this pirate sound down. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded, with information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream media. Wow, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got a year. Wow, I feel nice. The sugar runs by. I feel nice, the sugar is fine. So nice, so nice, I got you.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us is always the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Hey, howdy.
How you doing?
I'm greasy.
You're greasy? Yeah. What do you mean greasy?
Well, I walked over here today. I think it's such a beautiful day today. It's
sunny. You walked through a rendering plant or
no,
something?
No, I just, my own natural, I was festering in my own natural juices, apparently.
Should we hose you down or something?
I got here and I thought, man, I'm not getting any younger. it's like a half hour walk and I'm like, so...
Call the EMTs. Yeah,
exactly.
There was a slight incline there.
Yeah, it was uphill all the way. But
both ways.
Yeah, both ways, exactly. But anyway, but I'm fine now. I got some snacks and got a little had some chocolate milk, and now I think I'm ready for my nap.
Yeah,
so.
It sounds like you're ready for your nap. Did you ever, in kindergarten, they make you take naps?
They did.
Yeah. I think that was just the smoke break.
But I didn't go to kindergarten, so I didn't do that. But my sister did, and she got an F in kindergarten because she refused to nap.
Oh, we've got two guests. I'm sorry.
Oh my heavens, there are guests and guests on guests. Why don't you? Hey, how we doing?
Hi, come on in. Why don't you switch over to? Can you switch to one?
And
then
oh yeah,
can,
sure. Then, I didn't get a thing for that one, though.
We have some guests today. We hardly ever have guests, but come on in. Have a seat.
You guys can fight over the chair.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So we've got Nathan Deming is with us today. And I'm sorry, the other person's name is?
David Duran.
Okay, hang on here. I gotta
get the microphone.
It's very complicated now. So, hi.
Good now?
Yeah. Oh,
hi.
Good.
How's it going?
Oh, good. Good to see you again, Nathan. And I'm sorry.
It was David Ezekiel Duran.
David, nice to see you. I saw you in the movie.
Right.
So,
to meet you.
Nathan visited with us last April when his movie February came out.
Oh yeah,
and at the Wisconsin Film Festival.
So he's visiting us. It's almost February. So
it is. Yeah,
the new movie must be April
tomorrow.
Well, no, we're taking our movie February around the state of Wisconsin this next month.
Oh,
so we're going all over, hitting up like 30 cities and.
There's 30 cities in Wisconsin. I'm a little surprised by that. Oh, okay, all right.
Villages,
okay.
Townships,
taverns. Let's just say taverns. Yeah, it's the same thing in Wisconsin. Yeah. Legally,
crossroads.
In the blue book, it says city/tavern. So.
Supper club.
Supper club. There you go. Yeah. So yeah, Nathan and I accidentally connected online recently. Thanks for swiping, by the way. I really appreciate it. Yeah. not many people do anymore. Yeah.
Away. Swipe away.
But now I made it awkward here, didn't I? But,
so, no more than usual.
No, but somebody, your movie February, it's an action picture about ice fishing. Right? It's been compared to Top Gun, right?
Yeah, Top Gun's probably the best comparison.
Yeah.
No, it's about, well, so I'm doing this thing called the Year Project where I want to make a film for every month of the year in Wisconsin. I'm going in order, so I've made two. Did January, now did February, and we premiered it last year at the Wisconsin Film Festival when I was on here. And I don't know if you remember, David was supposed to be here. He was supposed to be on the show then.
Yeah.
And what happened, David?
My flight got canceled.
Oh.
Yeah, the weather back in California was way too chaotic with all the rain and whatnot.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
A year ago. But he's here now. So
they don't have good weather like we have here.
Yeah.
It was that once in a blue moon type bad weather where we can't fly.
Actually, David just flew in yesterday and it's 50 degrees, so be glad, right? He brought the good weather.
I brought the good warmth.
Do you live in California?
I do.
And you came out here for the...
Just for the film, yeah. Oh, nice. For all the premieres as well.
Oh, you're going to be around for the month?
Yeah, I'll be for a week.
A week?
Yeah, I'll be around for a week.
Cool. So, but no, I saw that your movie was showing like La Crosse or someplace. And
we're going all over. Yeah.
I follow a lot of La Crosse news because it's kind of the Florida of Wisconsin.
alligator news. You have alligator news.
Well, Florida man, La Crosse man, pretty similar. But anyway, so I saw that it was showing, and I just posted a comment on Reddit saying, "Oh, I saw this last year at the film festival. It's a really nice movie. Go out and suggest to people to go see it." And then you reached out to me and. I had to laugh. You said, "Is this the real Melon Floyd?"
Yeah. Well, I think your name was Melon Floyd on Reddit, and I was like, "Oh, I don't know if this is the real."
So, but you're doing. So what towns are you going to?
Not all of them.
We're going all over. If people want to find where we're going. If you check out our website, februaryfilm.com/screenings, it lists all the places we're going. But we're hitting up Madison at the end of our tour at the Cinematheque, which should be really fun. We're going everywhere. La Crosse, we're playing at the Pump House, if you know that.
It's sure.
Really cool area. Yeah. And sometimes we're going to have cool Q&As afterwards. So there's this WPR journalist who's going to chat with us after the La Crosse one, Ezra Wall. We have a big Eau Claire premiere tomorrow night because that's where we shot the movie, along with my beloved Toma. And so that's tomorrow
Those
night.
Those are two words that don't often go together.
Yeah, what did you think of Toma, David?
Toma was great, man. I like the town. I mean, the city? City, town? Which one is it?
How would you classify it?
Either or. What would you classify it?
Urban conurbation. Yes.
I liked it. It was very nice people.
I don't know. I just stopped there and pee once in a while.
Yeah.
On the way to somewhere else.
Yeah.
No, it was great. I liked the city over there. It's very calm and peaceful.
Yeah.
Filming. He likes the cash store a lot.
I like the cash store. Very.
That's where we filmed part of the movie.
Yes. It was cheap Carhartt everywhere. It was Carhartt in California is like so expensive.
Really?
Yeah, so I left with like three things.
That's kind of like a uniform in Wisconsin. I'm wearing it.
Oh, you're wearing it? Yeah, yeah.
I'm wearing some right now.
No, I loved it. It's a fashion statement over there.
Yeah.
People don't actually work with Carhartt. They just wear it as a fashion statement.
Oh, yeah, same here.
Yeah.
But so the movie was about ice fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about David, who kind of gets paired with this kind of crusty older typical Wisconsin guy,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have a lot in common at first. They kind of just a little friction, but then in true Wisconsin fashion, they work through their problems with beer.
Spoilers, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, don't give away the plot.
I'm sorry. I just assumed.
Yeah.
But so David, have you ever been ice fishing?
No, that was my first time, actually.
Yeah. So what did you think of ice fishing?
Ice fishing is fun. compared to what I was used to, like, it's just a lot more waiting and looking at the bobber, you know? I like regular fishing. Fishing out in the sea, that's awesome.
Yeah, that sounds more fun than drilling a hole in the ice.
All right. No, so but I mean, it was an experience.
So how would you compare your film to, like The Brutalist? Is it in the same genre?
Yeah, it's pretty much a 3-hour epic about postmodern architecture, and it's like a metaphor.
If you've seen that movie, it is kind of like sitting there doing ice fishing. So.
Yeah, Brody, we're coming for you. All right.
I have not been able to see that yet, but
we'll see the similarities. Okay, yeah, you'll see the similarities.
So it's been almost a year since we last talked to you. What's been the reaction of the movie? I assume it's been pretty good.
It's been really cool. Like I premiered January at the Wisconsin Film Festival 2 years ago, and I was like, I'm gonna make a movie for every month of the year, and everybody's like, what? Okay, you know, like, who cares? And then when you do a second one, then they're like, oh, I kind of see what you're doing. You know what I mean? So it was really exciting to see people kind of glom onto the project and I think hopefully get excited, because that's my dream, is that every few years you'll hear from me. And that no matter what else I'm doing in my filmmaking career back in L.A., every few years I'll come back to Wisconsin, shoot another month film, which will always be a different character, a different person. So like the first one is this old church volunteer. The second one focuses on Latino immigrants. And yeah, you'll see. I could just keep building a kaleidoscope of our state. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So I mean, and it is obviously a very timely story about, you know, immigrants trying to adapt to Wisconsin, you know, traditional culture, you know, the old German type culture.
Yeah. And we, like, tomorrow night at our Eau Claire premiere, we're talking with this professor of Latin American studies who's taught me a few things even since making the film, like. That Latinos make up 70% of the dairy force in Wisconsin. Yeah. They're a huge part of our culture right now, and they're still kind of like unseen a little bit, which is like a bummer. So we're
So I have a colleague who started a project a few years ago doing photographs of traditional farms in Wisconsin and the German American heritage, and he realized as he was halfway through, this book is going to be about something else, because he started to realize who was working at all these farms. And it's like, okay, so it started as this German American thing with traditional stuff, and now we're to mechanization and a completely different workforce than what he was anticipating.
Yeah, definitely.
And so he's had to rewrite and basically refocus in all the work he's doing with this.
Yeah.
So David, are you an actor? Are you a professional actor? Or
I hope to be.
You hope to be.
I hope to be.
So you're a waiter.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting for that to happen.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that to happen.
No, he's an actor in this.
I am an actor.
You do commercials and stuff?
No, I did theater for a while.
Yeah?
Yeah. I did college theater and high school theater.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my first, like, camera work.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be in some other films. Those fell through, sadly. Because, what's it called? People are bad with their time, you know? And just didn't work out. So I'm hoping that I get some more, what do you say, kickback from this. Like, that I get more notice.
Yeah. Well, this show should put you over the top.
Oh, yeah.
We have dozens of listeners.
And both of them will tell their friends.
Yeah.
They don't have any friends.
Our listeners?
You've met our listeners.
Well, I mean, most of them are incarcerated. So
they have ankle bracelets.
It's an expanding population.
They're under home arrest. Come on. So are you thinking about the March movie? Are you working on it? Or what is that going to be?
Is this guy going to be in it?
The lead of January.
He should be in all your movies.
You need to have like your star.
Yeah, you know, a lot of these big directors have kind of their repertory company. You could build one of those.
Yeah, Nathan.
Yeah. No, I do want to work with David again. He's a very good actor. The lead of January has a little cameo in February. So without giving too much away, I would hope that David is able to have a little cameo in March. But yeah, I'm working on March. I have it written. I have up till June planned. We'll see kind of how things shake out, but hopefully I'm shooting it by the end of the year.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So by the time you get to December, the United States will be a hellhole, right? I mean, you're really, what's it going to be?
Will
like?
Be?
You can just remake Mad Max.
It'll turn into a post.
Frame per frame, yeah.
But I do expect it to take like 15 years or something like that. So it'd be really interesting, I think, to see how much culture changed. I mean, if I had started this 15 years ago, you know what I mean? Like how different it would be between now and...
It'll be interesting for you, too, to see how you've changed as you look back. How old are you? Do you mind if I ask?
I'm never ask. I'm 35.
35. So you'll probably be like close to 50 by the time you're done.
Yeah.
And then you can...
He could run for president. We should start a boomlet right now.
I'm the guy who made the month films.
I made that ice fishing film.
Ice fishing.
Hey, that's what the people want. Give them what they want. And give it to them good and hard.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bad day for ice fishing here. It's like 50 degrees.
Yeah. Hey, they're out there, though. Go to Monona Bay. I was walking by there. Those guys, that ice can be like practically nothing, and it's just a hope and a prayer, and they're right there.
They're always out there.
Yeah, and Altoona, they're there, too. I saw them this morning.
Yeah, they're always out no matter what. And I guess you get the one lucky day, you know, on the back of a bunch of cold, you know.
One molecule off, and they're all in the, right in the lake, you know.
That was like a weird part about filming. Like, it was like... like filming on the ice, I don't know how David felt as a Californian.
Scary. Scary.
Did you think there were monsters underneath?
No, I thought it was going to break.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm driving on a big old Ford. I'm like, I do not want this ice to break at all.
I once actually rode a bike across Lake Monona.
What, you put chains on your bike?
No, it was like one of those times where it was like super dry. Yeah. So the snow was really like crunchy and powdery. Yeah. Hardly any slippage at all. That, went right across. It was great.
That's what I think we got lucky with, is there was an inch of snow. Because, you know, walking when there's no snow on lake ice, would have been slipping and sliding. Wow. And, I don't know how we would have gotten any work done. So
the other actor, the other main actor, the older guy.
Richie.
He wasn't an actor. He was just somebody who lived in Toma or something?
He's from New Auburn. And so everybody, like David's from L.A. I was living in L.A. when I cast the movie. Everybody's from L.A. except Richie, who I was casting for that ice fisherman character, could not find it anywhere. And then I threw up an ad on Craigslist, and his wife responded. And was
right.
Yeah, and it was like, well, that sounds like my husband. Here's a photo.
She just wants him out of the house.
Yeah, and then he had never acted, and he was great, and he was so funny, too, because he'd like do a line, and then he'd be like, how did you know I did that? Like in real life, and like I guess he was that similar to the character.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, fun. So,
yeah.
Did he have to memorize lines, or was some of it improvised? Or
I don't remember. Did you guys improvise? Not really.
Not really.
No, not really.
Yeah. The part where they're swapping really bad jokes.
Yeah.
Those were like really, really dirty jokes. Those were from him.
Ones were improvised.
So you buried the lead. This movie's got dirty jokes in it.
It's got Once the beer and ice fishing kicks in, there's some dirty jokes.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Well, we've been speaking with Nathan and David here, whoever were the creators of the movie February. It's a Wisconsin film about ice fishing. It's showing in 30 different places all over the state here. So, again, where can people get a list of the schedule?
Yeah, so if you go to februaryfilm.com/screenings, we're treating this a bit like we're a band on the road. I'm going to every screening. We're playing all different places. We're playing cinemas. We're playing, like, cool, like, little art collectives. We just had a sold-out screening in Appleton last weekend. It's cool, like, photography collective. So, fun. Yeah, and we're also kind of working with this nonprofit called Action Wisconsin, if you guys are familiar with them. It's this group of... filmmakers and entrepreneurs, small business owners who are advocating for bipartisan legislation to bring film incentives back to our state, because we're one of 13 states that don't have tax credits right now.
Of course we are.
So we're also 48th.
Forward.
We're also 48th in arts funding in general. Mm-hmm. So the reason Hollywood doesn't shoot anything here is because we don't have these tax incentives. Meanwhile, Minnesota does.
Yeah.
They're getting jobs. Yeah. So
here's the problem, though. Yeah. Art holds a mirror up to reality. What Wisconsinite is going to want that?
I think there's a lot here. We got a beautiful state. We got interesting people.
Okay. All right, that's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
All right, and one last question before we kick you out here. This is showing in Madison. Do you know when?
Yeah, March 2nd at 4 p.m. It's going to be at the Cinematheque at UW-Madison. That should be really fun. That's going to be kind of like towards the end of our tour. Hopefully people
Do you have t-shirts for the tour? Or?
I've got my hat.
You've got your hat.
I've got my hat. Maybe I can make some t-shirts. Yeah,
merch is the sweetest
part. Yeah, that's
merch is the sweetest. Yeah.
I didn't even get one.
You don't have one?
I don't know.
Man.
Wow.
So, you should get paid something for doing this, right?
Yeah.
So the hat. Yeah.
You learned how to ice fish a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Did I catch anything? No, I did not.
Of course not. So. All right. Well, guys, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Good to see you again.
Yeah, it's great to see you again. So, but David, nice to see
nice,
you.
Nice to meet you guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks for coming here. Hope you enjoy your visit to Wisconsin.
Yep.
Oh, yes, I got ya. Oh, yes, I need ya. I want to say it now. Oh, yes, I got to do it. Oh, yes, I got to do it. Make it funk. Make it funk. Make it funk.
And we're back.
I'm writing that down in the Mel and Floyd diary. January 31st, 2025, interact with actual humans on air.
We don't do that often.
We do not. We're a tiny bit afraid of humanity.
I know.
But those guys were nice.
Nathan reached out to me and said, "You think I could come on the show?" And it's like, ugh.
They're going to say things?
We only do that like once a year.
Yeah. And then we're forced to. But was great.
No, they're good, nice folks.
So have you ever been ice fishing? Have you did that something?
I don't think I have. I used to fish when I was a kid, but I don't. I never understood the appeal of it. You know,
when I was first in grad school here at Wisconsin, I used to go across the lake, Lake Mendota. I did a lot of cross country skiing and stuff like that, and I would always stop by, and I was a smart aleck. I was like, are they biting? You know? People were nice.
Not the point of it. Yeah, the point is to get out.
Want a beer? That's the usual response I got. Anything biting?
Yeah, me. Yeah. So the new Wisconsin or the new federal transportation secretary is from Wisconsin.
Oh, indeed,
Sean Duffy.
Okay.
Former representative.
Never heard of him.
And also, and I'm not making this up, former reality TV contestant. He was on
That's consistent with the other cabinet members, at least.
He's been on TV.
Yeah, he's been on TV. All right.
He was on he was on a couple of MTV.
What's his push-ups like? Well, what can he bench?
Well, he was on, and this is probably why he got transportation. He was on these programs that were kind of similar to, like, The Great Race. Where they run around to different places and stuff.
I see.
So he would be a natural.
Of course.
For the transportation.
Yeah.
He has 9 kids, by the way.
All right.
So, and 18 wives.
No, not all at once.
Just sequentially.
Yeah, like our president does it. Yeah, right.
So anyway, here's this story.
Yeah.
The amount of federal road funding Wisconsin receives in the coming years could change under a new order from Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, that prioritizes areas of the countries with higher birth rates.
What?
He released a series of orders Wednesday to rescind woke policies, roll back burdensome
whatever that means
and costly regulations,
yeah,
restore economic growth, mm-hmm, and ensure the Federal Transportation Department aligns with President Trump's priorities.
Whatever the heck those are. money. mine.
That's a big money pit for a state for transportation.
Hey, you know, when you got a mafia don as your boss, you know, I mean, come on.
So, but anyway, here, among the orders was one directing federal DOT officials to give preference to communities with marriage and birth rates higher than the national average when awarding grants and contracts.
So who's that in Wisconsin?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look that up. It's probably the red counties, I would guess.
Yeah, I would guess.
Especially the marriage rates. I like the explanation or the lukewarm justification for this.
Yeah.
Awarded these grants and contracts in order to make it easier for families with young children to access transportation and mitigate negative effects of transportation projects on families. So it's about the children.
Yeah. So it's about the children.
You know, I would guess that as someone I haven't had a small child for a long time, but I would guess that people with children, transportation issues are pretty far down the list,
mm-hmm,
of things, mm-hmm, that they think about.
Yeah.
You know, things like health care and child care.
School lunch.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Those are like the top 1,000.
Right. Now it's a dodge. It's a way of actually coding it for something else that's correlated.
Well, it also plays into the whole dominionist thing of women should have a lot of kids and people.
Well,
I'm
okay with that as long as they also put a rider on there that says that if you've been married more than once, you're not allowed to get anything. I mean, that's the biggest thing. The one piece of sexual ethics that Jesus talks about in the New Testament is don't get divorced. Which was actually in those days a progressive position, because women didn't have any plan B if their husbands divorced them, and you'd be amazed if they actually took that seriously. I might actually take them seriously, but they never do. They're all so woke, I can get married 4 times and there's no problems. Yeah, okay. That's the woke playbook. Hey, we've been hearing a lot about William McKinley. I mentioned this last week, and we heard some more about him again this week. Our new president referenced him, of course, in his inaugural whatever that was, that word thing that came out of his word hole.
Festivus, I think.
Yeah,
it was the airing
the airing of the grievances. You know, it's going to be Festivus all year long with that guy. It really is. What can you say? Every single thing that happens is going to be, you know, it was all Biden.
Biden crashed that helicopter the other
day. He certainly did. That's what I've heard.
And the DEI people.
Let me get me on that one. Yeah. But at any rate, one of the things that people, of course, you know, the economic policies, the tariffs and so on, but one of the things that people don't remember about the McKinley administration, and it turns out he was a little funny about it himself, was the fact that that's when the United States, rather than just being a contiguous rolling out of empire, started reaching out across the seas. That's when we, of course, acquired Hawaii, the Philippines, Guam, Puerto Rico, and various other parts of the world. It was also the Panama Canal was also an outgrowth of McKinley's initiatives. But
Panama.
As was Panama, exactly. But he started to feel a little funny about it, you know. I mean, that was not exactly. I mean, it kind of happened sort of by accident, and he basically had second thoughts. According to a historian, one historian from the era, McKinley was quoted as saying, referring to Admiral George Dewey, who was involved in the Spanish-American War, "If old Dewey," this is a quote from McKinley, "if old Dewey had just sailed away when he smashed the Spanish fleet, what a lot of trouble he would have saved us." Yep.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing.
It certainly is.
What else is going on here? There's a long-lost anti-fascist mural from the 1930s down in Mexico has been restored, and it's back on display.
Can't imagine why.
I don't know.
Not that like it's timely or anything.
I think we should have all kinds of anti-fascist displays.
Yeah, I think we should.
So good for them. So. Yeah. Tomorrow is a Tariff Saturday, by the way. So.
Tariff Saturday?
Tariff Saturday, yeah.
I didn't realize there was such a thing.
Yeah, it's not like Taco, not as good as Taco Tuesday, but no, the tariffs are going to be announced tomorrow with Mexico and the Canada.
And so everyone's going to come groveling before the throne and ask for exemptions, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, that's how
I mean,
it works.
The K Street, you know, the famous lobbying street in Washington, D.C.
It's KY Street now.
Just slip it right in. Oh, Mel, this is why I love you. I have nothing to say. That just did it. So, I was just going to say it's going to be roiling, but there's nothing I can say now.
Well, I have a little explanation from the glorious leader.
Oh, the glorious leader. Okay, yeah. All hail. Okay, everyone, stand at attention. A word from the glorious leader.
The sweet potato is talking. He says, "Look, Mexico and Canada have never been good to us on trade.
All right.
They've treated us very unfairly on trade. And we will be able to make that up very quickly because we don't need the products that they have."
Yeah. You know, why do people think he's such a manly man? All he does is whine.
Yeah, so, I like the part at the end about how we don't need the products they have.
Yeah, sure.
Like cars and oil and timber.
Do you know I ate last night for dinner?
What?
My last avocado.
Poutine. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm never going to see one of those babies again. Forget your eggs. I mean, I'm just like, oh, yummy avocado.
Forget crypto. Avocado will be the new currency.
Exactly. Well, at least in California.
Yeah, that avocado toast is going to get expensive. I like this little. This is a little accessory. I mean, if you know, Valentine's Day is coming up. If
you
you're
bet.
Looking for a present.
Sure.
Somebody posted a picture of their neighbors. They got a little can to pick up their dog poop.
Very nice. Yeah. Okay, very good.
And they put a picture of Vladimir Putin on it. And it says Putin. I kind of want one of those.
Well, speaking of tyrannical land grabs, the Prime Minister of Denmark was in the news this week. Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen met with European and NATO leaders. She was on a whirlwind tour. She traveled this week to Berlin, Paris, and Brussels. Can you guess what she was talking with folks about? Yeah, she's trying to get some solid
Greenland
solidarity on this whole Greenland thing. According to Ulrik Pramgrad of the Danish Institute of International Studies, the Prime Minister doesn't want to get into a one-on-one fight with Donald Trump. She's trying to get colleagues to commit to the fact that this is not just her problem. It's a problem for Europe. So on Monday, just before she set out on her journey, her government announced that it would increase military spending in the North Atlantic by $2 billion. They're not taking this lying down. The new spending has been planned, but its announcement appears to have been in response to Mr. Trump. So he said he's going to try to use tariffs. But I got to let you know that you just lost West Virginia because Ozempic comes from Denmark, right? I mean that's pretty much. If you want to win West Virginia, if you want in the midterms, you better not put tariffs on Denmark. That's all I got to say.
Oh, that's funny. So. Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 on the FM. You might be listening on the internet at WORTFM.org. You could be listening in the future because we put this show and all of our shows on the archives page. And thanks to our pal Mindless Minion D-Cubed, you can listen via pod through Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your pods.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a brief break and then come back with, you got anything good?
I got a lot of economic news. I'm just mention a couple things about the tariffs and then move on to something more interesting.
Okay.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Bernie's Rock Shop, located at 901 East Johnson, and our new shop, Bernie's on Park, at 636 South Park in Madison. We offer handmade silver jewelry as well as unique mineral, crystal, and fossil specimens from around the world. Store hours and more information available at berniesrockshop.com.
WORT is keeping democracy alive with our 8th annual Chiliocracy at the Harmony Bar on Saturday, February 1st from 1 to 4 p.m. The Spine Stealers will entertain the crowd as they sample their way through chili from great area restaurants, including Cooper's Tavern, Dexter's Pub, Echo Tap, Green Owl Cafe, Harmony Bar, Just Veggies, Lone Girl Brewing, and Mickey's Tavern. Enter as an average Joe or a fat cat lobbyist and cast your vote for the Supreme Commander of Chile. Will the lobbyists sway the election? Will democracy prevail? Join us for this political mockery served in crockery. Complete details are available on our website at wortfm.org. All proceeds benefit WORT Community Radio.
And we're back.
This was a sad story. This comes from Vietnam. This is, of course, Lunar New Year this week, and which are known, of course, in Vietnam as Tet. And there's a ritual, a ceremony that people engage in there, where they bring kumquats and other ornamental plants, and then they have this. They bring these as symbols of good luck to celebrate their Tet holiday. And unfortunately, what happened this year is that the weather was so bad, was so foul in Vietnam that the supply of kumquats was extremely limited. So basically, bad luck in the weather made it not possible to do the good luck ceremony for the year to come. And I was kind of like, oh, that's double bad luck. You know, I mean, it's
like, you need more kumquats.
We needed more kumquats last year. That was when we should have been doing the kumquats.
Yeah.
Got a couple of good stories from Madison. There was a story today in the Wisconsin State Journal that said bus ridership has increased across Madison as the result of the bus rapid transit system.
That's very
encouraging. Data was released on Wednesday of this week that shows that ridership was up by 10% at the end of 2024, and that compares with last year. And the ridership on the bus rapid transit Route A, which is the one that I often take, is up 18% over the same period. So that's really good. That's starting to pay off. A very surprising story that was also in the State Journal today, if you haven't had a chance to see it, was that in the lawsuit before the Wisconsin Supreme Court about the constitutionality of Act 10, the Republican sort of affiliated Justice Brian Hagedorn, has said that he's actually going to recuse himself from participation in the decision. And the reason why is, of course, because he was Scott Walker's former chief legal counsel, and he helped to actually draft the bill.
Wow.
And this is a very this is a big blow to the Republicans, but it's a very unusual thing because normally they play some really serious hardball when it comes to this.
I thought the Democrats were the only ones who had to recuse themselves.
Yeah, well, apparently this guy didn't get the memo. Yeah, so
good for him.
I know. I feel like very positive about him, and I know, and I just, not because he's going to give me a result that I want, but I mean, I'd like to see that more of that kind of dedication to, you know, the stuff that supposedly works in a constitutional republic,
like ethics
and separation of powers and all the other things that we supposedly laud in this country.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the big thing that's going on now, is the rush to try to consolidate all the power in the executive branch. And I mean, Congress is just essentially a rubber stamp at this point. I mean, you know, look at the people they're confirming.
Yeah,
I mean, they're laughably unqualified.
Sure.
And
but the leader said,
yeah. and the courts.
Do you really? I have a question for you about this. Do you think he really wants Bobby Jr. to be the, I mean,
I think it was, I don't know. I mean, I think they kind of made a deal during the campaign.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, yeah, give the baby his bottle.
Yeah. But I'm just wondering if he doesn't get it, Trump. I don't think Trump's going to be like angry or anything.
No.
He'll find some other scumbag somewhere.
I mean, I'm surprised Trump honored any deal they had, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Mel.
I don't need
Mel.
You anymore.
that is kind of unusual, isn't it?
But if he's looking for somebody to like destroy that agency, that's probably a good choice.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah, but he might be moderately more competent than some of the other ones.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, we do have a new defense secretary, and the Defense Department Intelligence Agency just announced just the day afterwards that they're going to pause observances of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, Pride Month, Holocaust Days of Remembrance, and other cultural or historical annual events.
I have the same story up here. I was just going to read it. So
instructions were published Tuesday in a Defense Intelligence Agency memo. This was obtained by the Associated Press, and it affected 11 annual events, including Black History Month, don't need that anymore, which begins on Saturday, and National Hispanic Heritage Month.
Yeah. So Pride, Juneteenth, Women's Equality Day, National Disability Employment Awareness Month, National American Indian Heritage Month, as you mentioned, Holocaust Remembrance.
However, Racial Purity Day will still be celebrated, as it has been for many, many years.
For thousands of years.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness. So, well, in Tennessee, my story's not coming up here. Tennessee has passed a bill that makes it a felony for elected officials to vote against the Trump immigration policies.
How can that be?
It's Tennessee. I don't know.
A felony to vote?
It was a 26 to, yeah, to disagree. So there's the Jaguar. He's early.
Jaguar.
Early. So, but let's just put him on. We'll just do like 10 minutes of a show.
We had guests the first 20 minutes, and now I got Jaguar for the last 20 minutes. That seems a fair apportionment of labor.
Okay, so
let me just hum James Brown.
Hum James Brown. That would be lovely. We'd love you to do that.
That would be good. So it was a 26-7 vote in the Senate, the Tennessee Senate.
Yeah.
It'll create criminal penalties, Class E felonies, for officials who adopt sanctuary policies. According to the bill's text, officials can also be removed upon conviction.
I see.
So we can remove officials when they're convicted of something.
Yeah. Yeah, funny about that. Well, there already is, you probably know this, Mel, there already is an impeachment petition out there against President Trump.
Yeah.
100,000 people have signed it so far, so, you know.
Yeah.
And basically they're talking about not the stuff he did before, but the emoluments clause and his basically breaking the law spectacularly in two instances and then creating a executive order that's unconstitutional.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I was thinking they're trying to break the 22nd Amendment. They've got their sights set on that. The term limit on the presidency.
Yeah.
The birthright citizenship, the 14th Amendment.
Yeah.
They're going after a lot of the media companies.
Right.
And so that's the First Amendment.
Yeah.
So I think once you violate 9 of the amendments, then you get the 10th one free. you got to get the app, though. You got to,
So they're going to start quartering troops in our houses. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, if only.
You can dream. The thing about that, the spacing of those two amendments together, I mean, that tells you all you need to know about the Second Amendment.
About what was
the Second
Amendment?
It was about, they were talking about the military.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want a military, we just want a militia.
Yeah.
Second Amendment. Third Amendment. And by the way, when we have a military, you don't have to spend your time.
Get those bums off my couch.
Yeah, exactly. Because they used to do that, of course, in Europe. If you know the historical context, you know what's going on there.
Yeah.
And people would just come in and requisition stuff, including your wife, you know? I mean, it's kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Ugh. Pediatricians have decided it's time to shift tactics. What tactics? Trying to convince people to vaccinate their children. So, vaccine hesitancy is nothing new. I mean, everything is a cost-benefit analysis. I mean, I did, you know, my vaccination I just got a double vaccination about 3 weeks ago. My arm's still sore from that. So, I mean, everything has a downside, right?
Double shot of your baby's love.
Exactly. So basically people are saying, okay, but it's accelerated. We all know it's accelerated.
Sure.
And there's a lot of false information out there. Yeah. And so the doctors, the pediatricians and other, primary care physicians are basically having to do a lot of extra work. And you know what? I have to say, I got to tell you this because I teach for a living. There's nothing wrong with explaining to people the reasoning behind stuff, you know, getting them to understand it to the extent that you can based on reasons that a rational person would respond to. I think that's a noble thing to do. But, no one just like, I'm the authority, do what I say. And then, in the medical profession, that's changed a lot in the last 50 years. Doctors now try to explain things to people and so
sure.
on. So there's nothing wrong with this. The problem, of course, is they're fighting against a giant deluge of garbage information the other direction. But basically what they try to do is they try to help people understand all the successful vaccines. I mean, there are many of them out there, and a lot of parents just accept a subset of them without even thinking about it. And they try to share with them historical information about what it was like before some of these vaccinations were available. And finally, they do share the idea, and for most of us, I think this makes sense, that there's always a cost benefit. And if you can show exactly what the cost might be and how small that cost. Now, you never know. It could always happen to you, of course. But nonetheless, the odds, the liability, the likelihood that this is going to happen, if you explain this to folks, they often will make decisions that are positive for their children. So, that's in a way I kind of don't mind that people are having to do that. I just wish we could kind of like push back a little harder on some of the torrent, the tsunami of false information one sees coming at you.
Well, it's like you've mentioned before. We need 20 million cool uncles to explain things to people.
Yes.
If somebody that they don't trust says it or.
Yeah.
You know, some lefty crazy person. It's like, well, I don't, I read that causes, you know, my big toe to fall off. I'm not going to get that. And
this is why, I mean, this is why we have the media environment that we have today. The number one way you can get what you want if you're an evil person is by discrediting in any way you can people that are trying to do their jobs. And, you know, and this is the same thing with the mega rich. Why are the mega rich coming after professionals? Why are mega rich coming after, you know, teachers and doctors and so on? It's because those people have knowledge. And what they want is those people to be out of the way. Those are the new elites. We have to tar them. So that way you can just, you know, go and prey right on the people that don't know these things directly without any interface.
And that's been done historically, too. Yeah. When you have authoritarian regimes, they target, you know, the as you say, the intellectuals.
Yeah. Liberal judges, Jew science, as the Nazis used to say. That was what they said.
I know.
Einstein is Jew science. You have to listen to that. It's like that adjective's doing a lot of work. It really is. So now it's woke. Woke is the omnipresent.
Yeah.
Completely amorphic. You can use it for anything.
Well,
you know?
on that stupid order that froze all the funding.
Yeah,
they had it. I mean, it read like a post on, you know, 4chan or something. It was like, well, we want to make sure there's no woke spending and these DEI programs and, you know, and it's like, yeah, you know, I talked to some friends of mine who still work at unemployment, and they said the funds were frozen for a day or two. I mean, you know, that's a big pile of money that they need access to
sure.
cut checks for people.
Yeah.
And I mean, and just that one tiny instance there, like, you know, it they can blow up so much.
Yeah.
I mean, plus it sows, you know, just confusion, and people don't want to get in trouble. So it's like the stupid letter they sent out to all the federal employees saying, quit, quit, quit. You know what was interesting about that? So when Musk bought Twitter, they did something very similar.
Oh, yeah.
They sent out this letter to everybody saying, it's going to be a tough road. We need you to be hardcore. But anyway, the subject line on that was a fork in the road.
Mm.
So when they sent out this mass email to all the federal employees, guess what the subject line was?
Oh, my goodness, really?
Yeah.
I did not
same
know
one.
That.
Yeah.
So. I saw Stephen Miller on TV defending it, but he really undercut his credibility when he ate that rabbit hole. I was kind of like, you got to stop that. You know, you should, if you're peckish, you should do that before the interview.
Yeah,
you know?
You shouldn't do that.
Wow!
That reminds me, I saw a license plate on the way down that said vampires, which I thought was kind of cool. I pulled up next to it at the stoplight. I was going to make like little fang motions with my fingers, but... She looked kind of crabby, so I didn't want to.
Well,
but she's on the sun.
She doesn't like being out in the daylight.
She's on the sun,
yeah. Exactly, like, yeah. Yeah, so. Yeah. Sorry, I stepped on your line there.
Niceness.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm from Minnesota, so I know all about niceness. Niceness is a distinct psychological trait, according to a new study.
Oh, really?
And it's linked to heightened happiness.
Oh.
So being nice can help you be happy.
Wow.
It's defined as treating others in a warm and friendly manner, ensuring their well-being. Importantly, for behavior to be considered niceness, it must not be motivated by the expectation of gaining something in return.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting. They
be nice
it that
and be
way.
Happy.
Yeah, nice originally meant fastidious or careful.
Oh, sure.
Actually,
yeah, that makes sense.
So and maybe in this case it's careful of others' feelings or fastidious about the you know sensitivity to other people.
Yeah. So if you say someone's got a nice butt, they're it's a very well, okay.
That doesn't sound very nice at all.
No, never mind. <That's>,
So a little, I just had to, they're going to be, we're going to, I just love the fact that for the next, however long this guy's in power, there's going to be nothing but fuel for corrections.
A fire hose of horse manure.
So there, I saw an article in the paper where they were talking about Canada being the biggest fentanyl dealer in the United States.
Oh my God.
No, not really. So actual U.S. government reports, you know, reports on where fentanyl comes from and who's making it and so on. There's some, of course, comes in from Canada, of course, obviously, but no, not really that much. 80% of the chemicals used to make fentanyl can be legally imported from China or purchased, you know, here in the United States. And, of course, it can be purchased also in, I suppose, in Canada. But the quantities of fentanyl leaving Canada for the United States, and this is according to our own... you know, border control, is minuscule. 0.2% of what is seized It's 0.2% of what is seized at the, for example, the southern border.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's like, no. But just out of the blue, he needed some kind of crazy explanation for why he's being such a jerk. And it's like, oh, they're all the fentanyl's coming in from Canada.
Right.
I'd be more worried about them taking our hockey jobs.
Yeah. And our maple syrup.
Precious, precious hockey jobs. I could get behind it if he said that.
What else we got going on here today? A little environmental news. The bleaching on the Great Barrier Reef has reached catastrophic levels, according to a new study in Nature.
When my mom stopped bleaching her hair, she'd reached catastrophic levels on hers, too.
It just shows that no matter how much of the lies and all this stuff is swirling around and all these power grabs and stuff, Mother Nature is going to win.
I mean, life is earnest. Life is real.
You can't, you know, and science is real. You can't just say, I don't believe in that anymore. I mean, it's 55 degrees in Madison in January. Come on.
Yeah. I was waiting at a bus stop yesterday and an elderly gentleman came by and I see him every now and then. He always remarks on the weather to me, just out of the blue. You know, it's like, oh, it looks like winter's over. You know, and I was like, yeah, till March. I said, hope you're ready for the polar vortex in March. And he's like, oh yeah, it's just does what it wants now. You know, it's like, yeah, pretty much does. Hey, speaking of Idiocracy, the reading ability of America's children has plummeted. It's going to a new federal study that was done, last year's National Assessment of Educational Progress. It tells what we might call a grim tale. Not that any of these children have ever read any tales by the Brothers Grimm, especially in reading. The slide in achievement has just continued. The percentage of eighth graders who have below basic reading skills, according to the study, was the largest it has been in the exam's 30 years history. So it's... eighth graders who have basic skills are now about a third of all of the eighth graders. The percentage of fourth graders at below basic was 40%. So that's below basic. We're not even talking basic here. There was some progress in math, but not enough to make up for some of the losses that occurred during that nadir of education, namely the pandemic. Recent reading declines have cut across. It's not associated with anybody in particular, race and class. Students at the top end of the academic distribution performing similarly to students pre-pandemic. The drops remain pronounced for struggling students. It's basically kind of a bipolar structure. Our lowest performing students, according to Peggy Carr, the commissioner of the National Center for Educational Statistics, soon to be out of a job, I'm sure. Our lowest performing students are reading at historically low levels. Wow. Well, I know how we can take care of that.
Tax cuts.
Stop reporting on it.
That too.
We are going to be, and that's the thing, I have no doubt that we are going to be an information desert in the next few years, because this is another part of it is the only way that you can actually put out some of the crazy crap, like I've just done two stories that involve government studies. If you want to say everything's fine, Canada is the center of all evil and whatever, you can't have any evidence to the contrary. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing you got to do.
Yeah. So I saw that during the Walker administration, because again, I worked in unemployment then, and a few people kind of lost their jobs or kind of got, you know, transferred, so to speak, because the numbers didn't look quite right.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, take another look at those.
Got to massage those numbers.
that unemployment rate looks a little high, don't you think?
Yeah.
So, well, on a related note, Wisconsin has the widest gap in the black and white in the math scores, according to this probably the same study you were just quoting. So in the whole nation, we have the biggest gap.
That's pretty intense.
I know. So it's... We need more tax cuts, I think, is what we need.
That'll solve it. That'll solve it all.
But, so, I don't know. That's been a long
time. Well, the fact that you bring that up proves to me that you're woken. You need to get out of here. You're probably in favor of DEI or something.
Yeah.
I knew it.
I get these stupid fact check things pushed at me, and I haven't figured out how to block them. Well, I could block them if I want to, but sometimes they're kind of entertaining. And this was a Snopes thing, and it says, no, Barack Obama was not on the Army helicopter that crashed into the American airline plane.
What? Where did that even start?
You'd think we would have heard about that.
Yeah. But, why would you start that rumor? Where would that even come from?
It's just clicks. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, I was reading something last week about they'd done a study on really what gets people engaged online, and this isn't a surprise, but it's outrage.
Oh, yeah.
If you get people outraged, then you've got them. You know, then they'll keep reading, they'll keep clicking, they'll you know retruth it or retweet mm-hmm. it or whatever we call it now, and so you get people mad about something. It's like, oh, well, they're letting kids use litter boxes in schools because they think they're cats. And
I remember that. Yeah. That was a few months ago.
Well, it was weird. A few years ago. I mean, Well, you know, and it's like.
I heard about it for the first time.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. But I mean, it's like, you know, that got people outraged. Like, I can't believe they're doing that in schools.
Do you know what I think we should practice? Enrage.
An innie.
You know what?
Let's be innies.
Yeah, like, could you be an innie? Could you just keep that under wraps? So, that would be lovely. Thank you. It's like you don't release gas in a small space, you know? It's like, keep it to yourself.
Well, it feeds on itself, too. As you go more and more into it, you get more and more outrage, and you think, God, what is wrong with people? What's wrong with people today?
What's
wrong
that.
With society? Well, I do, too, but I try to make it more...
But you try to be nice.
Fact-based. And
you try to be nice.
I'd be Minnesota nice. Which that's really just passive-aggressive. It's just rebranded our passive-aggressiveness.
Well, let me ask you a question.
No.
So did you do Dry January?
I don't drink that much, so I probably didn't drink.
Yeah, you didn't intend to.
I might have had a beer or something.
Yeah, yeah.
No, okay. I had a couple beers. I mean, went at the bowling alley in Oregon, of all places.
Well, this is the last day of January, so a lot of people do kind of like a little, you know, little inventory. And one of the things that I've heard about Dry January is that actually the thing that's valuable about it is that during that period, it's like an experimental or trial period, you're gathering information about your relationship with alcohol. You know, if you're abstaining during that time or severely reducing your alcohol intake, you find out a lot of things. You get a lot of signals. Does your body feel better? Can you remember who you went to bed with last night? You know, things like that.
Yeah.
But could you take it? You know, like, did you feel like depressed or angry or, you know, or outraged?
Yeah.
This can tell you something about your relation to alcohol. And it's so embedded in our social fabric that also we sometimes need a timeout to figure out how we can construct our social relations without it. And so this gives us a little opportunity to see whether, in fact, we're able to do that and to what extent we are happy with that as a result. So those two data points, they're suggesting in this little article I was reading that you could use that then to kind of think ahead, right? Like, what am I going to do in the next year? I found out something about myself with respect to the drinking part and with respect to how I can restructure my social relations. And now let's do it again. Maybe we'll try 60 days next time and see what information
I get there.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, yeah. I did do a dry January, but it's related to sex more than drinking. But,
that can be painful.
That's called...
Sorry. Going back to your earlier joke about K Street. That's my takeaway from this episode. Okay. Thank you.
And, DQ will probably put that in that little headline he does.
Paints quite an image.
I had this friend who drinks quite a bit. Or at least I haven't seen him for a while, but he used to. And he did a dry January one time. And he came up to me toward the end of the month and he goes, I've got so much more money. It's unbelievable. He was
surprised.
He was very surprised at how much money he had.
Wow.
Like, I don't know what to do with all this money I've got.
Yeah. Well, as my mother used to say, you kids are dollaring me to death.
Not nickel and dime.
No, dollaring. That was the 70s. The inflation had gone up.
Yeah. There's a push to get a new little certification on books.
All right. Sounds good.
The certification says human authored. It's from the Authors Guild. It says books not created by AI will be listed in a U.S. Authors Guild database that anyone can access.
That's what they call a retronym. That's where you take a perfectly good word and you have to add an adjective because now it's got more than one potential current meaning, right? So it used to be author. What could else could it be? You know. So now it's like human author. You know, it's got, you gotta modify it now.
I only read books by human authors.
Yeah. Ooh, snooty, aren't we?
I was watching a show last night, and one of the characters is kind of haughty, and he made some comment about Beowulf, and this younger character said, "Is that a book too?" Because he talked about books,
right? Yeah.
And it's like, and he was like, "What?" Hey, we got to get out of here. Time to declare. The weekend. Enjoy your weekend. Go out and buy some avocados.
Yeah, they're going fast. Not to start any kind of panics or anything, but
avocados and toilet paper. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Nathan and David for coming in to visit.
Great.
Talk about the movie February. And check where that's going in 30 different states or cities in Madison and Wisconsin. And check that out.
Yeah, go stop by 4-Star and pick up a Cinematheque brochure. Oh, yeah. They have the brochures there, and then you can just look at that.
Perfect. So, all right, it's 2 o'clock. You are listening to WRT 89.9 FM Madison. Stick around, the kiosk is next. After that, The Real Jaguar with Who Cooks For You. Pants, it was great to see you.
You too, buddy.
Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. Do you like it?
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, January 31st.
In the 1787 Constitutional Convention, the framers were clear on what they were not creating, a monarchy. One delegate expressed the group's absolute conviction that the founding document must exclude even, quote, the fetus of monarchy. Yet, 238 years later, watching Trump's inaugural week, it was both awful and comical to see the royal pretensions of King Donald. There were silly gestures like him waving around a ceremonial sword, made more ludicrous by the fact that he was a cowardly rich boy draft dodger. Plus, there was the spectacle of him imperiously signing stacks of orders, proclamations, and pardons in a show of kingliness. Petty pomposity aside, though, he's an untethered megalomaniac whose inaugural speech reasserted such monarchical concepts as the divine right of kings and manifest